Hi everyone, Jay Compulsive Eater. Can I be heard? Hi, Roz. That was a funny intro because Roz was saying she wasn't sure what she was going to hear, and I have to say I'm not sure what I'm going to say because I just got a reminder about 3 minutes ago that hey, you were supposed to speak today. Do you know that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally spaced it. So this is going to be completely off the cuff, and that's wonderful. That's great. Where was I sitting? I was sitting in my church. I have gone to a I have sat under a pastor for many, many years and followed him from church to church. And you know, I don't believe in a lot of what the church itself believes in, but I believe in what they do and what they stand behind, and I find that that stuff is very important to me. What do people do? I don't want to hear your words. I want to hear what you do. I want to see what you do. And you know, this pastor here, him and I have had an opportunity to in our lives to travel the world together. We've been to the Caribbean to work together to build buildings. We've been to Africa. We've walked on the continent of Africa together and built buildings. And this is a man that I value what he says. So I look to him as my pastor. And we have done tremendous work here in this small town in Northeast Connecticut together. So I say all of that because I don't know why I'm saying that. I just I love I look into I look at the same thing in program as I do with my church. I want to see what you're doing. I don't want to hear your words. I want to see what you're doing. And I have beautiful relationships in my life with people in OA where I see what they're doing, and they're doing good work in their life and in the lives of other people. There's a quote that I love that I love, and this is taken from my other fellowship that I practice in my life, but we are an offshoot of that practice, so I share it with you. Carl Jung shared the message with Roland Hazard. Roland Hazard shared the message with Abby Thatcher. Abby Thatcher shared that message with Bill W. Bill W. shared that message with Dr. Bob. And thank God somebody shared it with me. And I usually like to finish that little statement with, am I sharing that with somebody else? And I can say that yes, right at the moment I do. I do have a man in my life that I'm working with in my other fellowship, and I would welcome a man in my life that I could share the message of OA with. And I'll give you I'll put my contact and the information in the chat later, but I need that. You know, I went through a little crisis a couple of weeks ago, and when I came out of that crisis, I realized, well, what's going on? And I realized I'm not sharing the message. I didn't have people in my life that I could share the message with. I got a little too self-focused on myself, and I wasn't working with others. So I went through a little dip there, and now I'm back on track with working with others. So let me tell you how I got here to OA. I've always struggled with food issues. And I used to say that I came into the program when I was, well, I started, not the program, I came into my food addictions when I was 12. Well, that isn't really the case. I've been always big, always overweight. I came from a family that was extremely overweight. And we used to have this catchphrase in the family, which unfortunately my family still uses, is that we were big boned people. And that was our excuse. And as I have progressed in my OA journey, and part of the results of my progression in OA has been weight loss, it has become very obvious to me that I am not big boned. I am normal boned. I had a compulsive food issue. And that was not something of words that my family wanted to say. So how did I, at 200 pounds plus at age 12, how did I deal with my food issues? I learned how to become bulimic. And I practiced that behavior. I've practiced bulimia. I've practiced restricting behaviors to the nth degree and compulsive food obesity all throughout my life. I used restricting and bulimic behaviors all the way through high school, through the military, through my adult life. There came a point I was working in a different type of fellowship, and I started to share about my bulimia, and I started telling people about that issue with me. And that began to help. I started to, by telling other people what was going on, that helped me to become accountable. And I stopped binging and purging, and I was there for about 6 months. But I ended up leaving that program, and I wasn't feeding that recovery aspect of myself. So rather than go back to binging and purging, I ended up really diving into the compulsive eating. It became extremely obese. For me, that was, I estimate I was probably about 300 pounds at the highest of you know, my weight journey. So my wife and I were traveling home from the islands one time from vacation, and I got onto the airplane, and I couldn't get the seatbelt on. And I really should have asked for a seat extender. And rather than that, I struggled myself into that seatbelt. And I sat there in pain and self-loathing for a six or seven hour plane flight. And insisted that when I got home, I was going to solve this problem on my own. So when I got home, I got really big into my restricting behaviors and just got wild on apps and calorie counting and all me and white knuckling every single day. And I started to lose some weight, but it was so hard. So when I got down to probably about 240, I was still having a lot of difficulties because I wasn't solving the me problem. I was solving a food issue, but I wasn't solving the real issue. And that was me and my emotions and my relationship with food and how I dealt with life through food. How would I deal with food? How would I deal with life through food? Let me give you an example. I would be on a job site and I would be a foreman of, you know, anywhere between 6 to 12 guys and overseeing their work. And when I would leave the job site and I would start driving home, I would stop at a convenience store and I would get a lot of chips and stuff like that. And I would eat these on the way home. Why? It wasn't because I was hungry. It was because the act of eating the chips, the loud crunch, was a stress reliever for me. That's an example of how food handled, or I used food to handle my emotions. So there came a point where I was, I'm going to hit bottom here in a moment, and I'll let you know how that happened. I had taught my family, I had abused my family, and I had to make amends to them later on about this. In the big book of AA on page 133 and 134, it talks about the use of sweets and chocolates early recovery from alcoholism. And I used that as a club over my family to always have sweet things in the freezer for me. Well, I went to the freezer after dinner and I grabbed a handful of these things and went to my office. And I'm sitting there and I unwrapped one of these things and I threw it into my mouth and I'm chomping away and I'm unwrapping the next one. And I had a moment of clarity at that moment. And I said, oh my God, I could feel that my face was flushed and my heart was quickening and I was so excited. And I realized that if I was having the same physical reactions as if when I poured a shot of whiskey, I was getting that same reaction as if as I was eating these things. And I said, I don't know what to do. Wow. So this was a direct result of my openness and willingness to practice step 6 and 7 in my other fellowship. I had opened up the door to let my higher power change anything in my life that he, she, it feels necessary to change me, to mold me into the person that it wants me to be. And it was very clear that at that moment, my higher power was tapping me on the shoulder and saying, I'm giving you fair warning, I'm coming for your food. This issue is over. We're coming, we're going to deal with this. But it was not just a mere character defect that could be removed. This was bigger than that. I was going to need more. I was going to need more people. I was going to need more step work. I was going to need to get really involved. So within a few days, I found myself, oh, that stayed with me for about a week. That whole experience stayed, nothing changed, but that whole experience stayed with me for a week. The following Sunday, I woke up. And I came out to my living room, and it was Easter morning. And there was a big Easter basket there just for me. Well, see, that was another thing I had taught my family to do, to always celebrate Easter with me, with all of this sweet stuff. I am a 55-year-old man, and I have no need for an Easter basket. But again, that was a club I was beating my family with. If you want happiness, you will treat me like this. Later, something I had to go make amends for. So I stood there in the living room. I looked at this Easter basket and I said, "There's, I can't, this is horrible. There's so much pleasure, immediate pleasure in that basket, but so much self-loathing, and so many just horrible feelings with that basket. God, I surrender. I don't know what to do." I stood there in my living room and I cried and I surrendered. And I said, "I don't know what to do." So I was able to pick up the basket and I put it off in a closet someplace, just so it was out of my mind so I could reflect. And I thanked my family. I just didn't want it to make it like really obvious that something was going on. Could I get a notification about 2 minutes prior to the end? I appreciate it. So the so there I am in my living room. I surrendered and I said, "God, I don't know what to do, but I have a food problem and I need your help." So within a few days, I found myself in a Zoom OA orientation meeting for Connecticut. And I can't tell you how I got there. I can't tell you how I got that information, but I was led there by my higher power. And I heard the 15 questions for the very first time, and I answered 14 out of the 15 affirmative. I'm a food addict. And there was no question. There was no question about it. And now I can tell you that, after doing all of my 12-step work and stuff like that, I knew this for a very long time. I just didn't know what to do. But OA has given me the answers of what to do. And it's not a calorie app to follow. It's not, it's, there is no diet related to what I do. I work on my diet, but only because the word diet for me is the things that I eat. I don't follow a diet plan. I follow a food plan. It's a plan that helps me to eat nutritiously. And when I eat nutritiously in my life, I feel comfortable. I feel good in my skin. I don't feel guilt over the things that I've eaten. And then that builds the foundation for me. Then I, on that foundation, I can build my 12-step house. in OA. And that's where I can begin to work on you know, my inventory work and my continued work with my higher power on my willingness for him to remove my character defects. I continue to make amends, continue to, you know, seek and like this morning, you know, seek his will for my life. I got a lot of major issues going on in my life right at this point. And, but I feel at peace. I feel at peace about the fact that I'm still negotiating a divorce. I feel at peace that I'm waiting for this divorce to be final so I can move from New England to potentially the Caribbean and rebuild my life under a palm tree on a beach someplace. You know, I'm at peace that I'm almost at a place that I should be looking at retirement, and I'm thinking about moving and getting a brand new job. And I'm able to deal with all of those things on a daily basis and be at peace about it, you know? And that's through this program. I'm going to close with one of the things I mentioned, step 9. And I want to share with you that, and I've mentioned that a couple of times, the importance that the steps are to me. I can't do this through just the 9 tools. Okay. I can't. The 9 tools aren't designed the 9 tools are not designed for me to recover. They are designed for me to get abstinent, to get food sober, if you will. If I practice some or all of the 9 tools, they will help me get food sober. Once I get food sober, I can then go and do the steps. And the steps is where I get the recovery. Then once I get the recovery, I don't have to get the food sober so much anymore because I'm already sober and I'm in recovery at that point. So one of the things that I recently did is, as an example of my step 9, I told you about making amends to my family for all the stuff that I did to force them into having certain foods in the house all the time. I had a different situation where a number of years ago, I went out to Las Vegas, and I was on the vendor floor, and I really there was a couple of people that I really insulted very, very, very badly, and they had to call security, and they had to have me almost escorted from the convention, and told me if I bothered them again, they were going to expel me from the convention for the rest of the week. It was that bad. So I a couple of years passed by, and now I'm in recovery, and in OA recovery, and I made plans to go to another convention in a different part of the country, and I made all the plans. I booked the tickets. I everything was done, and then I realized that these same people were going to be at this convention. They were on my impossible a list of amends to make because I didn't know how to contact these people, but my higher power made a way. So once I landed in Chicago and I got to the convention, I said, the first thing I have to do is get this done. I found these people. I found a private moment and I went up and I made my amends to these people. And all they were really concerned about is if I was well today. And they said, obviously you're different because you're doing this. This is, most people do not do this. Most people do not come up and make amends. So something is different. So whatever you're doing, please do it. Well, once that amends was over, and we actually took some pictures together, and once that was over, I needed to find a private place within the convention space because I knew what was coming because I have a lot of experience with making amends. What was coming was this emotional wash. I found a very private place and I sat down and I started crying. Why did I cry? Because that was over. I did not have to make restitution for that problem, those problems that I had caused those people from the past. That amends was made, and I could walk a little bit taller, you know, and I could look the world in the eye and I could go back into that convention center and not be frightful of people that I might run into. Those things were over. So I'm going to close with, I hope that my talk today has helped you to get a little desire to get beyond just living an abstinent life. I hope that my talk will spur you to say, yes, I want to get abstinence so I can take that next step into recovery. I want peace in my life. I don't want food to be a constant battle the rest of my life. And I hope my talk has helped spur that in you. So thank you very much. It's been a wonderful, wonderful chance to be able to share my story with you. I hope you have a wonderful day.